while we stand and while we sing.
Many, and there are. And, you know, God does things in abundance. I marvel sometimes at all the wonderful blessings of God and what he does for us. And they are so many. And tonight I want to talk with you about the fact that God does more for us than we expect. You know, we all have our grand expectations of God. There were a lot of people back during the days of ancient Israel, not Israel themselves necessarily, but many of the pagan nations believed that God was always aloof from mankind. And God was one who was estranged from people. And his intent was not to really do good, but actually perhaps just to watch man go through difficult times without ever rendering aid or helping. Well, in the book of Ephesians 3 and verse 20, and I would invite you to turn there tonight because that's really going to be the basis for our study. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages. Amen." You know, that really is a marvelous verse when he says that he does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever imagine in our mind. Isn't it amazing to believe that God could take 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000? Not only do that, but allow his disciples to gather up 12 basketful of food that was left over. I don't know of anybody that's ever been able to do that, but certainly Jesus did. But God does so much more than what we expect. If you were just really be honest with yourself tonight, if you were maybe to think about all your blessings and how many ways God has blessed you, you could probably say, God has done so much more than what I ever ask him to do. And he really does. And I want to use a number of examples tonight to help you understand that what I'm telling you is true. So if you will be turning to the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. One of the vivid stories of the New Testament was about a man who was very poor. And a man who was at a gate, and at this particular gate, he was a man who looked for alms. And I want us to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the ninth hour of prayer," being the ninth hour, "and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, and who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at which happened unto them. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Greatly Wondering Porch." Well, the point here is the fact that this man would have been satisfied with a quarter. He would have been satisfied with maybe just a small token, maybe a denarii, or maybe just, he would be thrilled with a silver coin. But in actuality, God did much more for this man than he could ever imagine. Well, this man had been laying there at that gate time and time again. But not only did was he blessed of God in many ways, but the greatest way that he was blessed was that the man was healed physically. I've known a lot of people in my lifetime who had a lot of money, but they could enjoy it because of physical impairment. they were unable to get out. And I see a lot of people sometimes who do that. You know, they save up their money and they save up their money. And then when they get in their old age, because they've hoarded that money all their life, now they either have a heart attack or have a stroke or they're physically impaired and they're never able to use what God has given unto them. I've always thought that, and certainly people have to make preparation for their future, we all do. But at the same time, there comes a time when we ought to enjoy the blessings that God has given unto us. And if we don't use some of that money that you keep putting back, or those blessings that God keeps giving you, I'm persuaded that God will take it away from you and he will give it to someone who will. Let me ask you a question tonight. Which would be more important to you? Would it be more important to you to have money, or would it be more important for you to have health? I can tell you, to me, it would be more important for me to have health, not wealth. And I mean that sincerely. Sometimes people, what really turns them on is money. I heard about a lady one time who called to tell her preacher that her brother had just won $1 million in a sweepstakes or lottery. She said, "But I have a problem." And the preacher said, "Well, what is it?" Well, she said, "Well, my brother just, he has a real bad heart. And I'm afraid that if I tell him, he may have a heart attack. He may die right on the spot. And so I'm calling you, Brother Jones, to see if you would be so kind as to go and break the news to him." Well, the minister agreed to go tell the brother that he had become a millionaire. He made some casual conversation for a bit, and then he asked the question. He says, "By the way, did you know that your lottery ticket is a winning ticket?" "Yes, I did," said the man with the bad heart. He says, "Well, I'm here to let you know that you won. You won $1 million. And when the man seemed unfazed by this great news, the minister asked, "And what will you be doing with all of that money that you've won?" And the man said, "Well, I decided that if I won, I would get a half of it to the church." Whereupon the minister had a heart attack. There are a lot of people in this world who believe that money is the most important thing. And money makes them click. It does. But you know what? This man was interested in money in Acts chapter 3. He said, "Silver and gold, you know, that's really what I want. Give me alms." He wanted money. And Peter and John says, "We don't have any silver and we don't have any gold." But in actuality, we have something that is far greater than money or gold or silver, and that is your health and your strength. Can't you imagine what was going on in that man's mind when they reached out their hands and they took him and they lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength? And the Bible says, and he leaping, can you imagine? I mean, you know what it means to leap? I mean, that means to jump with excitement. This man is leaping, and he stands up, and he walks, and he enters with them into the temple, and everybody else probably is thinking, "Man, what has gone on here? I mean, we've seen this guy out there at the gate. We saw him this morning." And now he comes into the temple, and he's leaping for joy, and all the people saw him walking, and he's praising God. But they knew who it was. Verse 10 says, and the Bible says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John," don't you know he healed them, "all the people ran together unto them, and they were so excited." But here's a case of where God did much more than what this man expected. He did. Well, there's another example found in the book of Mark, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark, the second chapter. In Mark, the second chapter, another story unfolds in verse 1 and says, "And again he entered into Capernaum," that is Jesus, "after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was not room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now think about it. Here's a man that's on the bed of affliction. He can't walk, can't do anything. They've got him on a cot. Four men are carrying him. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, or all the people that were around, he's not talking about the Associated Press here, folks, or CNN, but they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Think about this. I mean, they're up on the roof, and they break open the roof because they couldn't get in any other way. And they start letting this man down in the presence of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies?" Because they didn't think that Jesus even had the right at all or to assume that he could forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk." And then he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." Well, this man was looking for healing. And, he wanted to be healed. I don't know what he had done, but obviously his sin had led to his physical disease. I don't know what it was. Who knows? It would only be speculation on my part to tell you that, maybe alcohol, it could have been any number of things that led to this man being sick. But when this man of palsy is let down through the roof, down into the presence of Jesus, and the Bible says, now think about this just a minute, what happens? Says, when Jesus saw their faith, how many times have you ever heard TV evangelists say, "Well, I couldn't heal you because you didn't have enough faith." Now, here is a perfect example of where Jesus said it wasn't the man who was sick, but it was the faith of those who brought that man unto Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything about that man's faith, not at all. But the Bible says that when the people that are carrying him along on that cot, it says that when Jesus saw their faith. Think about it. Their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But that's the difference between a true healer and one who is fake and one who is a farce. This man who was let down through the roof of the house where Jesus was received far more than the healing of his palsy. For he received the forgiveness of his sin. Isn't that an amazing story? It is. You know what? God does great things. He does. One wanted money because they thought that money probably was the cure-all to everything. And you hear that all today. People say, "Well, you know, if I just had enough money, well, I could get anything done." I've heard people say, even when they get involved in crime, "Well, if you got enough money, you can get out of it. Or you can just about accomplish anything if you had enough money." Well, sometimes in our quest for money, people lose what they have. Heard a fellow say one time, he says, "I have a lot of sweet chariot stock." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he says, "The minute I buy it, it swings low." Well, you know, there probably are a lot of folks like that. Swing low, sweet chariot. God blesses us in an abundant way. There's another example. I'm going to do this quickly. I know you want to watch the Cowboy game, and I'm trying to get you out of here on time. And I'm going to do more than you ask or think tonight. There is a story of the prodigal son who knew he wasn't entitled to anything. He had spent everything that was coming to him. And so when he goes back home, he only goes back home asking to be not restored, just to be a slave on the farm. He says, just let me be one of your hired servants. I know you have bread enough and to spare, and you have slaves here on the farm, and they've worked for you for all these years, and I'll just take on the position of a slave. But when he comes back home, the father, out of his great gratitude and out of his love for his own son, not only did he receive him back to the farm, but he received him as a son. His life had become a mess. Wanted to go home as a slave, but instead, he got a robe and he got a ring. God says, go get the best robe and put it on him and put shoes on his feet. Only slaves go without shoes. And he says, you put that family ring that bears our family emblem on his hand. For this my son who was lost is now found. God blesses us in so many, many ways. He does. Far more than we could ever imagine in our life. The Bible says that the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Then in Isaiah 55 and 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will, listen to this, abundantly pardon. I like 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. God does things in abundance. And that's why sometimes it's so difficult to pray, isn't it? To know what to pray for. Because God always does so much more than what we pray for. And he does. Every day. Every day. If you just stop and really think about it. You know, we sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. And that's a great hymn. It's a wonderful song and certainly a great thought. But few ever do. Sometimes we bemoan the fact that we aren't blessed even more. And that God hadn't done so much more. But you know what? If you were to stop and think about it, look at how God has blessed you. He has blessed you with good health. Now, you wouldn't be here tonight. No, you may have your aches and pains. We all do. But you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have good health. You had an automobile to drive to get here tonight. God blessed you with that. You have a job. You have an income. God's blessed you. You have a family. Think about how blessed you are. And I'm going to tell you something. Many of us take our blessings for granted. And sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are until they're suddenly taken away. That's why we ought to stop every day and just think about how blessed we are. I'm sure that in that story in Acts chapter 3, that man who had been laid at the gate, that was crippled, I'm sure every day he thanked God for that encounter with Peter and John. I'm sure that every day he probably got on his knees and thought, oh, how blessed I am. And how thankful the man in Mark 2 must have been for his friends who brought him to Jesus. You know, that's a lesson in and of itself, isn't it? That those friends brought that man to Jesus. You know, sometimes our friends will never know God and never know Christ had it not been for us bringing them to Jesus. I hope tonight that you'll think on these things. And I hope tomorrow when you get out of your bed that you'll have a greater appreciation for God and what he does for us every day. We are so blessed, and I hope we'll never forget it. If you're subject to the invitation of our Lord tonight, either to become a Christian by obedience to his will and baptism, and maybe you're a child of God who perhaps has been derelict in your responsibility to really thank God, and perhaps you've been selfish and not mindful of how wonderfully blessed you are of God, I hope tonight that even whether you respond publicly or not, I hope you'll go home and get on your knees and thank God, because he's a great God. Let us stand and let us sing.